We're calling an audible.
Audible.
So, like we mentioned, Omaha. This week. And we dribbling, yeah, yeah. And we dribbling, yeah, yeah. And we dribbling, yeah. We put some shots up and we dribbling.
For Ball We Know, episode 32, it's Nate.
It's A-Hop.
And we're here just in the nick of time.
Hardly.
This may be a quick episode due to some scheduling errors. But
that's me. I apologize. Hope the fans understand.
These things happen. We could have just blew you off in completely, but we didn't because we're good people.
Is that why?
Yes.
We're good people?
Yeah.
All right.
We're good hosts, too.
Maybe.
Anyways. Let's continue. As always, start with the For Ball We Know kicks of the week because kicks are life. Thanks. Langston Galloway. First off, let's say we're going to get a little festive because Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays, like we said last episode. But
belated holidays? Yes. Happy New Year, I guess, now.
Mm-hmm. And the Knicks played on Christmas Day, so Langston Galloway naturally had some Grinch shoes, which I think are really sick. Actually, the detail on these are amazing. They look like they're, like, screen printed on there. It's insane. So on his right shoe, he's got the picture of Jim Carrey as the Grinch in the live action movie. And on the left one, he has the new movie, the animated one, and then with the dog too. They're pretty great.
They are pretty sick. I like them.
And the back has like a little candy cane pull tab on it, which is pretty cool. And we do this a lot, but we can't just have one shoe. So, A-Hop, what we got for the second one? For the honorable mention.
We went with the Grinch kicks just to be festive. When I saw this other pair, though, I said that they won and that Nathan didn't get an opinion and that we were going to shout them out anyway.
Facts.
This is Montrezl Harrell with the Boondocks custom Jordan 7. If you haven't seen the Boondocks, you're missing out. The show is freaking hilarious. My boys, Hugh and Riley. But just some classic all-white 7s with the faces of Huey and Riley Freeman on the side. They're pretty dope.
Facts. Feel it. They're sick. I agree. But yeah, like you said, if it wasn't Christmas, those would have won. So
they still won in my heart.
So it's a tie. All right. Christmas was just like a little to be festive, like you said. So yeah. Other news, all-star voting begins this week and the two guys we just mentioned will not be in it. You can select up to 10 players per day.
They're in the Kicks All-Star Game.
Make sure you vote. That's true. They're in the championship.
You could vote for Langston Galloway and Montrezl Harrell if you want it.
Yeah, it's just a waste of a vote. But
yeah, you're right.
Anyways, up to 10 per day. I think you can vote on like Twitter or their website or something like that. So I'll be voting.
I think it's all on their website.
Yeah. Don't vote for LeBron or Steph or KD because they're all going to get in anyway. So.
Yeah, but that could decide who the top vote getter is in the West. That's important.
That's true. We'll circle back around to that a little later.
We will.
Mm-hmm. As we mentioned earlier, there was some Christmas games this year. There was 5. I think this is a new record for Christmas games.
It was cool. There was games on all day.
Yeah, because at 9 a.m. Pacific time, there was a game on. And I was like, this is the earliest I feel like I've ever seen a Christmas game on. I feel like they used to start at noon and end kind of around 6. But they had a game 9, 12, 3, 5, and 7. They were just going back to back to back to back to back. So I'm down with it. The first game, we saw the Bucks taking on the Knicks. The Bucks got the better of the Knicks. No surprise there. 109-95. It was actually a pretty good game for, you know, the most part in the beginning. I don't know why the Knicks were playing on Christmas, but you guys can make up your own opinions on why you think that's the case.
They picked it before the season. If Porzingis was there, it would have been a good game.
That's true. Him and Giannis would have been going back and forth.
Exactly.
However, Giannis became Giannis, and then the game was not tight anymore. So
he went full Superman.
Yes. He went full man that put on 50 pounds of muscle since entering the league.
That's freaking stupid. I can't even believe that.
And that is a true story, by the way. Shout out Ron Stone. Giannis ended with 30-14. So decent game for Mr. MVP candidate himself.
He also had 4 steals.
Oh, okay. I see you with the advanced stats.
You know what's up.
Lopez, who's been killing it from three this year, added 20 and 6. Pretty good game from him. On the other side, Knox had one of his better games of the season as a rookie, 21 points, 6 boards. And Noah Vonleh added 14 and 14, so good for him.
Lit.
However, Knicks suck, so.
Yep, that is very true.
Someday the Knicks tape will be real, but not this year. Next game, what we got, A-Hop?
Let's see here. We had a classic with Thunder and the Rockets. I didn't see this game, which I was bummed about, but Houston pulled it out 113 to 109. Sounds like it was a pretty back-and-forth game.
It was.
Did you get a chance to watch it?
I did. I watched every single game.
Oh, well, good for you.
Except it was a little – Blazers-Jazz, I was kind of off and on. That was the only one I didn't, like, fully watch.
I went to Aquaman with my dad during this game. Just going to go ahead and recommend that to the listeners. Watch it in 3D. It's nuts. Nathan, you put down here that PG was, quote, doing the most with 28 and 14. I'm just going to go on a quick PG rant. I don't know if he's being talked about enough this year for how outstanding he has been. He's averaging 26, 8, 4, and 2 steals, shooting 45% from the field, 39% from three. That means he's up 4 points a game, 3 boards a game, and an assist a game from last year. And he's averaging career highs in all 5 major stat categories up to this point: points, rebounds, assists, steals, blocks. He scored 30 plus in 6 of OKC's last 9 games, and he's had 2 games of 40 plus. So I feel like their success in the playoffs is really going to be in his hands. The team as a whole plays much better when Russ isn't pressured to be the leading scorer and when he doesn't have to absolutely just gun up a whole bunch of shots.
Yes, and try to save the team by shooting threes, which we know will not save them. It will sink them.
Exactly. As is evidenced here, Russ had 21-9-9, another good game, but he was 6 for 20 from the field.
Yeah, that's not gonna do it.
It's not going to do it for them. I mean, he definitely needs to be...
Most of his points were at the line.
He needs to be controlling the pace and needs to have the ball in his hands and be taking shots and attacking, but when he shoots poor percentages, it never goes well for
PG
them.
PG is the reason they won this game. He was on fire. It was fun to watch. On the other side, though, James Harden, he had a big game himself with 41, 7 assists, and 6 boards. So, I mean, I feel like he's kind of been meh all season, and this is definitely one of his better games. It kind of looked like the old James Harden that we know.
Has he really been meh this year?
I don't know if I'm getting that feeling because the Rockets are meh.
Or yeah, that is why. He's averaging 32, 6, and 8.
All right. Well, I take back what I said.
He's shooting 45% from the field.
Oh, he's awful.
Yeah, so bad.
Capella also had a good game. That man's getting – or the Rockets are getting the most for what they paid for him. He had 16 points. Okay. 23 boards. What?
Casual.
So that's insane. I'm sure if he would have had 20-20, they might have won, but who knows?
They did win. The Rockets won.
I read that as the Thunder. Yeah, the Rockets did win.
They did win.
Never mind. If Russ wouldn't have shot 6 for 20, they would have won.
Perhaps, yeah.
CP3 still expected to be reevaluated in about a week or so. About a week ago. For a hamstring sprain, he didn't play at all this game. However, Austin Rivers made his debut this game, I believe. He didn't really do much because Austin Rivers, but
harsh.
But you know, I'm excited to see how that goes down. Because
we'll see how it pans out.
Hate each other.
CP3 said he didn't have any issue with it, which I mean he has to say, but I hope it's PR. True. Yeah.
The next game, game 3, Sixers versus Celtics. The Celtics took this one in overtime, 124-114. Or 121-114, my bad. Dyslexic. This was a very exciting game, like even more so than Houston Thunder, obviously it went to OT. At one point, when I was watching, it seemed like the C's were kind of done, but nah, untucked Kyrie came out to play.
And it's a wrap once he goes untucked. It's a freaking wrap.
And when Kyrie's jersey is down to the back of his knees, you know it's game. So yeah, he was obviously in his bag at the end there. He finished with 40 and 10 boards, which I did not ever picture Kyrie to get 10 boards, but he did.
It doesn't happen much.
No, I think he had three assists though on that.
He probably needed all those extra minutes of the overtime. He probably had one or two in there.
Mm-hmm. Tatum and Morris also had good games. They both added 23 apiece. And then on the other end of the, on the other side of the ball, the Sixers had Embiid at 34 and 16. Great game from him. He's, every time I looked up when I was watching the game, he was scoring. He was a monster this game. And then Butler added 24.
Does Ben Simmons ever not almost have a triple-double?
I don't know, but he hit his longest shot in his career, in his NBA career this game. It was like,
what, 25 feet?
Yeah, it was like just, it was like three steps inside the 3-point line, and he had to put
cool
it up.
25.
He had to put, nice. He had to put it up because the shot clock was winding down. So it was like probably about like the college 3-point range, maybe a little shorter. So that's kind of sad, but
I mean, he had 11, 14 boards and 8 assists. So
yeah,
he
well,
just always almost has a triple double. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah. One note I saw of this, JJ Redick had a pretty decent game, but there were some shots that he should have hit, and that could have propelled them to win. But, you know, shooters, they can be streaky sometimes. It's just kind of the way of the road.
Very true.
Game four, what we got?
Lakers, Dubs. The Dubs suck.
The Dubs did not get a dub.
No, they didn't. Lakers won that one 127 to 101. It sounds like the Warriors just had a bad shooting night. Would you say that's fair?
Yeah, there were some shots in the fourth quarter. Steph was wide open for a couple threes and just rattled out.
When your leading scorer is Iguodala, you're probably not going to win when you're Golden State, despite his 23. Durant had 21. On the other side of the ball for the Lakers, Kuzma had 19. What's up with this Zubac guy?
Dude, he did work. He came in, got so many offensive boards. He had 18-11.
He's been hooping.
Obviously, he started this game, and he played 31 minutes as well. So I noticed a lot of productivity towards the end of the game. Yeah, 18-11. Dude was a monster down low. It was fun
I
to
saw
watch.
His game against, was it the Grizzlies or the Pelicans last week, where uh-huh. he also played really well. I don't know.
He's just been hooping lately.
Yeah. Let's see. And then Braun went out in the third quarter with an injury, but still in his 21 minutes, he had 17, 13 boards and 5 assists.
Naturally.
Which is pretty ridiculous. like you mentioned, Curry was not shooting well. He had just 15. It seems like he always plays pretty poorly on Christmas.
It can't handle the pressure.
Yeah, totally. I think I saw a stat that said he hasn't scored more than 20. And he hasn't hit more than, I think, 2 threes on a Christmas Day game.
Interesting.
Yeah, which
well,
is weird to me.
It was better than Clay.
Who had 5.
Yes.
Yeah, it
five
sounds like just
points.
An off night for the Dubs to me.
Yeah, it just didn't seem like those two guys could get a rhythm. KD just tauled around and did his thing.
As he always does.
Yeah. Like we mentioned, Bron is out. And I'm sure a lot of you are curious to how long. And it says online on the internet that Braun is prepared to miss several games, but he is day to day, but it was released today actually that it might be more serious than it seemed. But LeBron tweeted out, I think, like, praise to the Most High that this could have been way worse. Like, he could have tore his groin, but he just strained it, it looks like, but a pretty bad strain. It's never a good injury to have in basketball.
This could be interesting, though, see which of those young guys step up now that they've had that time to play behind LeBron.
I mean, the fact that they beat the Warriors will give them a lot of confidence.
Definitely. And I think maybe now in those few minutes a game when LeBron's on the bench, hopefully this can be where they find out how and what they need to do.
I think it's all part of LeBron's plan to mold his teammates.
We can hope.
I think I saw a tweet that said, like, this is all part of the plan. He went out just to see which guys, young guys are, you know, fighting for a job that he's going to trade them away. They suck.
Perhaps.
Yeah. So obviously the Lakers should take their time here. I mean, they're in the playoffs as of right now. They don't need LeBron to hurry back and make his injury worse. Let the old man heal.
No, they'll definitely be fine. I mean, worst case, you ride it out until the All-Star break, and then he has all the time in the world.
Yep. Speaking of fine, the Jazz beat the Blazers 117-96. The Jazz, I still don't understand them. but they did score all over the place. Each, it was, you know, a free for all on the Jazz side. Mitchell had 19. Gobert had 18 and 14. Ingles had 15 and 7. And then I had someone else on there, but I just put his stats and I didn't put his name. Oh man,
This is how the Jazz have been successful this year, is with these weird, everyone has 15 plus kind of nights.
And that just kind of seems like their identity this season, to be honest.
I don't know how far that's going to get them, but so far, so okay, I guess.
Ricky Rubio had 14 and 6.
Checks out.
Yeah. On the other end, Blazers really just had Dame. He just had 20 and that was it.
Sounds so about standard.
I don't even know how they got to 96, to be honest. To be honest. Also, shout out to Spider Mitchell. Donovan Mitchell just got a shoe deal with Adidas. His own signature shoe came out, and I actually love the shoe. It looks pretty sick.
You're pretty nice with it.
Mm-hmm. So Adidas actually made a cool shoe for once. Congrats, Adidas.
They've had some cool shoes. Chill out.
Better than Under Armour.
Yeah. They're
boat shoes.
Very much.
Yup.
All right.
I was thinking of segue. Couldn't think of one.
We just got a little bit more injury news. This is the UW product, Markel Fultz. This has been its own storyline so far this year.
We need an intro, like a song, when we bring up Markel Fultz to like
we intro can have
the segment.
We can have Cole's verse on a lot. J. Cole just shouted out Markel Fultz on a song. If y'all ain't heard it, it's you called will. A lot.
Don't give
it's
him on the bar.
New 20. It's on the new 21 Savage album.
You'll have to tune check in for Hip Hoop and have a hop break it down in the future, maybe.
Okay, we'll come back to it. But I find this interesting. Just in the last 6-7 days since you guys heard from us, the Sixers GM said he was unsure if Fultz would return this year. And since then, he has then said that Fultz's range of motion has improved and the Sixers are willing to wait to see how rehab goes and that they think he very well could be back this year. It seems like nobody really knows what's going on and everyone's just kind of pretending they have half a clue.
Yeah.
I don't even really know what to say.
I feel like they're kind of just like in a standstill, like, what do we do here?
Yeah, I mean, honestly,
I guess wait.
Just continue figuring out how to play without him, and then if he comes back, it honestly seems like at this point, short of a miracle, he's just going to be a pretty late on off the bench kind of guy, seventh, eighth guy in the rotation, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of a guy that's that deep in a rotation, the Bucks granted $10.5 million in relief for Mirza Teletovic on his contract due to a career-ending injury. So shout out to Letty. He was actually a fun guy to watch, not gonna lie.
Too bad. He's moving on to something good, though. He's becoming like the head of the Bosnian Basketball Association or something like that. So
that's cool.
Good for you, dog. Do your thing.
Yeah. More money news. Anthony Davis does not see an extra $87.3 million that the Pels can offer in a Supermax extension as a factor in his future with the team. So AD's basically saying he's not about the money. He wants to play for a contender.
I mean, he did say recently that he thinks legacy should outweigh money. So it seems like he's in line with that.
Yeah, he's staying true to his roots, I guess. Which I guess can be sort of a snaky way to go about it, but hey.
Maybe.
KD already took the fall on that one. So.
Facts.
Speaking of AD and future with the Pelicans, his future, him and LeBron had dinner after the Lakers beat the Pelicans last Friday, 12-21. It's kind of interesting because they were talking about, you know, it came up earlier in the week about LeBron saying, I'd love to play with AD. It would be, quote, amazing. And now they're having dinner.
Yeah. And AD was also like joking around with several of the Lakers players on Instagram and some kind of comment stream. So it seems like they're kind of buddy buddy. Who knows?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Could happen.
I mean, you mentioned that LeBron comment about AD. LeBron really downplayed that, saying he's always recruited. He asked the reporters that he was talking to to ask him if he'd like to play with Kevin Durant or whoever else. And he gave
it was such a fire response to like
it was good
to the tampering stuff. Ask me, just ask me if I want to play with KD. They're like, okay, do you want to play with KD? Yes.
And he just kind of rattled off this list of other people he'd like to play alongside with. I think the notable, interesting one being Luka Doncic, but LeBron always a step ahead of the media, always smart in his responses. So
speaking of the media and LeBron,
yeah.
Go ahead.
Was that my cue?
That was.
LeBron wins AP Male Athlete of the Year for the third time in his career. The other two being 2013 and 2016. That makes LeBron just the third man to win the award three or more times, joining the club with Lance Armstrong, who won four in a row.
One ball.
Tiger Woods, and Michael Jordan. He tied Jordan for the most by any NBA player. And I just wanted to let you all know that the fifth place finisher in this contest this year was Justify, who is a horse. So there is a whole handful of male athletes out there that got beat by a horse in this.
I wish Justify, it would have been a
goat. Justify did win the Triple Crown this year, though, so that's sort of lit. But there's something really funny about seeing LeBron, Mookie Betts, Alex Ovechkin, someone else, and then there was a horse.
Just a horse.
Good for you, Justify. Keep doing your thing.
And to justify LeBron's acceptance of that award, hey, let's go. There was an interesting stat that came out that the date of the Lakers' 20th win at each season since basically they lost Kobe. So in 2012-13 season, they got their 20th win January 29th. The 13-14 season, they got it February 28th. The 2014-15 season, they got it March 30th, which is almost as late as you can get.
And, oh, God.
And you don't think it'd get any worse. But 2015-16, they didn't get a 20th win.
Oh, L.
And then 16-17, March 9th, really late again. 17-18, February 2nd. And then 18-19, December 25th. So that's the LeBron effect right there. Earned, and he also opened a school and did a lot of other charitable work. So shout out, Bron. Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting progression. I don't know who's taking the time to figure that all out, but let's see. What else we got for you guys?
Should we just start with NCAA so we have time for the football we know? I'm just going to flat out say that.
Yes.
The others is kind of just whatever.
Agreed.
Like I said, we're going to skip to NCAA just because time crunch and we suck. So
mostly me.
Don't leave us. some interesting stuff came out. ESPN had about the NCAA this week. It was basically like real contenders is kind of what I'm trying to say here. So who are the contenders? Who's fake? And like, what's going on and going into conference play. So Pac-12, our home conference, they suck this year, flat out. The only team that's ranked is Arizona State, and they just beat Kansas, who was number one. And I think the committee knows that Arizona State and the Pac-12 as a whole sucks this year because ASU was ranked 18th. Then they beat Kansas, and then they moved up one spot to 17. So it's kind of clowning. Oregon lost to Texas Southern. Oregon at one point was ranked in the top 20. They were like 16 or something at the beginning of the season. And then they also lost to Ohio State. And UCLA is 2-5 in its past seven games. And it's not looking good for the Pac-12, basically. Further news, there's just no number one this year. I think it's going to be another year where we're just going to see a lot of different number ones moving into the spot. Obviously, I think Duke could be the one, you know, that's there at the end of the season, but I feel like there'll be some more upsets and stuff happening, and it'll just be a crazy March Madness as it usually is. To continue with this, I got to find the top 25. My bad. I didn't have it up. No, not college football. Organization. It's a key in for ball we know, isn't it, A-Hop?
Yes. Something that we can do better at.
So I see Duke, obviously, as a contender. Michigan's ranked number two right now. they've usually had a good program in the past, so I could see them as a real contender too. Tennessee, I'm not sold on Tennessee, to be honest with you. They're ranked third. I just don't see it. I don't see it at all. And the biggest lie of them all is Nevada at number six. They're 12-0 right now, but I just don't see them contending with the Dukes, the Michigans, even like the Michigan States, who are ranked eighth, and just teams that have a rich basketball history. I just don't see them contending. Hot take by me right here. Kentucky is going to fall out of the top 25 this season.
Ooh, okay.
I think they are just not up to par this season. They're kind of like my homeschool U of A. We're in a lull right now. Next season, we're supposed to, we have the number one recruiting class, but this season we're kind of just bleh. So
bleh.
And Kentucky being ranked 16 is generous, as they're 9-2. There's some undefeated teams below them that are actually pretty good schools for basketball and just big schools in general. So I think they're a pretender for sure. North Carolina, contender. Ohio State, I see this being a big year for their basketball team. This will be like the first year since like the Aaron Kraft days and the Jared Solinger days where they're contending. So, you know, if you're an Ohio State fan, there you go. They're going to be in it this year. And yeah, that's kind of all I have for NCAA this week, just because, you know, not a whole lot of games over Christmas break for any team, so there's not a whole lot going on. But we should be back in 2 weeks with some more information, hopefully.
As we chug along.
Mm-hmm. March Madness
is the best times of the year.
Mm, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right, Nathan, here. Run with me here. All right, okay. We're calling an audible.
Audible.
So, like we mentioned, Omaha. This week, All-Star voting opens up. So it only makes sense that we would talk a little bit about the All-Star teams in our For Ball We Know segment. So here's what I'm thinking. This week will be the start of a little two-week For Ball We Know segment. This week we'll hit you guys with who we expect to be the top 10 and therefore the starters in the All-Star game. Mm-hmm. And then we will also tell you who we expect the top two vote-getters to be, who will then pick their teams regardless of conference. And next week we'll come back and Nathan and I are going to do our own draft for what we think the teams will look like.
For Ball We Know.
For Ball We Know. Does that sound good, Nathan?
That sounds great. Let's do it.
All right. So keep in mind that you can vote 10 times a day for 10. You get 10 players, but the top 10 overall, the starters are going to be 5 from the West and 5 from the East. That's going to be 2 guards and 3 forwards from each conference. So this isn't just going to be the top 10 best players. It's not going to be the top 10 most deserving. It's going to be 2 guards and 3 forwards from each conference, which I think is kind of broken. Because
they're trending towards the, you know, just anybody, because they do have right now at the draft, like you said, where it's not West East anymore. It's team one person, team the other person.
Yeah, I hope that that's the way they go, because the West is just overpowered, and that's why there's been that talk of having just the top 16 teams in the league, or instead of having the West and the East like it is right now. Mm-hmm. And I think this year we're gonna see some starter snubs of guys like Russell Westbrook or like Paul George, who have are playing really well. But I'll give the West then, and you can give the East for who we are thinking our starters will be.
Go for it.
Out of the West, I'm seeing for our 2 guards, Steph Curry, James Harden, and for our forwards, LeBron, KD, AD.
I think that's pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah.
Those guys are easily the 5 of, if not, that might just be the top 5 of like favorite players in the NBA, honestly, besides one guy from the East, maybe.
Yep. I would 100% agree with that.
So that seems pretty plausible. On the East, we got Kyrie and Oladipo working the front court. And in the back court, we got Kawhi, Giannis, and Embiid. Pretty self-explanatory there, too. Like I feel like it's hard to argue anybody else there, because these guys are playing the best basketball right now.
Yeah.
In their time right now. And everybody's in their prime. LeBron's been in his prime for 30 years. So.
Maybe only 20.
Whatever. He's a toddler dunking on people.
Yeah. So then as for the top two vote getters, I mean, I think it's easy for people to say, oh, Steph, oh, KD, but that's not what the stats have shown. Last year, actually, the top two vote getters were LeBron and Giannis. And that said, I think with those two being in opposite conferences now, that's for sure who the captains are going to be. Last year, LeBron had 2.6 mil votes to Giannis's 2.5. Steph had just under 2.4, and KD had about 2.2 million.
And keep in mind, this year it's televised, so we'll see how that goes. The draft itself should be interesting. Should be something to watch for sure.
For sure.
Yes, I think it's safe to say LeBron and Giannis. Steph, I feel like after that high that everybody was on him, kind of just mellowed out in terms of being like the most favorite player.
Yeah.
Maybe because that team's so saturated now with good players.
But, yes.
I feel like I think KD might edge him this year. Or AD, like any number of guys, anybody that we said in those top five could honestly edge Steph just based on their popularity right now amongst the league. I feel like Steph had his time at the top and now it's kind of, you know, maybe like a Harden or KD or Anthony Davis or something like that to step up. And LeBron will always be at the top because LeBron.
It kind of feels like regardless, like you said, LeBron will be that top vote getter in the West. And Steph is protected by the fact that he's a guard. Mm-hmm. There are less really good guards than forwards.
Yeah. So yeah, with that said, that was our 30-minute episode this week.
Fast and furious.
Yes. Scheduling issues. Totally our fault. However,
totally my fault. Sorry.
It was a good week to have this because there wasn't a whole lot of games due to Christmas and stuff. And not true, a whole lot of information. So hopefully next week will be a little more exciting, but stay tuned next week for our Football We Know All-Star Draft. We each get a team. A-Hop put down here Nate's bad team, A-Hop's good team. So
I guess correct.
That's not how it's going to go, though. We'll see you next week.
It's going to be as bad as last year when Team Curry was just absolute booty and Team LeBron was lit. You're going to be Team Curry.
Because LeBron's going to be a GM someday. He knows what he's doing.
That and Steph just picked bad people. He just picked a bad team. Yeah. I want Draymond. It's like, why?
Draymond's not throwing down. Oops, sorry.
He's not even going to be an all-star this year.
Ooh, hot takes.
It's just facts, bro.
Should we quote you on that on Instagram and then tag you in it later when it happens?
At me. Freaking at me. I'm not scared.
That'd be a first for our listeners. Boom, shots fired.
Wow.
Anyways, thanks for listening this week. Sorry it was a short one, but hey, maybe you liked it being short.
Let us know. Why don't you actually give us feedback, guys, and then we can do the things that you want. How's that?
Dang. All right, more shots.
I'm just letting them know.
Hope everybody has a fun, safe New Year's, and I guess we'll see you in 2019, huh?
I guess you will. Call it Uber. Don't drive drunk. Jeez.
Or Lyft.
Yeah, I mean,
they're cheaper.
I have no preference. Just be safe.
Maybe a walk. Take the bus. Ride your bike. Well, that's a BUI, bike UI. Yeah.
Bike UI.
Bike it under the influence. All right, we actually have to go now. So thanks for listening. It's been
Love Nate. You guys. It's been hot.
And see ya.
Adios.
Man, I'm 75 and still alive. Like, damn, it went fast. I know somewhere up above my father's having a laugh. Every lesson that he told me adding up like it's math. And every time I'm looking dumb cause I ain't listening to the man. And now I'm thinking, man, where my legacy at? As I'm staring at the child on my lap. And it hits me all at once, man, this is where it at. I said, son, go get that ball and let me show you who you are. I said, this is my legacy, I leave it for you. And it's something that's a part of me now, a part of you too. And it's more than just a game, and it's more than just a sport. If there ever truly is a sign of God, it's a proof. It'll teach you how to work, how to love, how to lose. All the dedication needed to be the man that you choose. I'm leaving it for you so you can be the better man. I handed him the rock like I put the world in his hands. And now he's dribbling, yeah, yeah. And now he's dribbling, yeah, yeah. And now he's dribbling, yeah. He put some shots up and he's dribbling. Man.